Book of Acts, chapter 17. Acts, chapter 17. I'm going to read verse 1 through 4 for our text and our message today. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. Title of our message and the thought that the Lord has given us is Jesus is the point. Jesus is the point. We see the Apostle Paul on this missionary journey coming into Thessalonica. And as his manner was, he found the synagogue. He found the place where the Jews met, where they were gathered, or where they would assemble to hear the word. To hear the word of God. To hear the Old Testament scriptures. Verse number 17 tells us that there was a synagogue there. In Acts chapter 13, verse 4 and 5, chapter 13 and 14, chapter 14, verse 1, you find that pattern. Yes. Paul going into a city, Paul and Barnabas, or Paul and Silas, and there was a synagogue. There was a synagogue. In this chapter, verse number 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Verse 16, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews. Chapter 18, verse number 4. Came to Corinth, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. So as Paul comes into Thessalonica in our text, we see there was a synagogue. But we also see in verse number 2 of our text, he went unto them and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Not only do we see in this place called Thessalonica there was a synagogue, but we see as Paul goes into the synagogue, there was also the Word of God. There was the Old Testament Scriptures. There was the Law and the Prophets. Jesus Christ himself spoke about the Law and the Prophets. Himself spoke about the Old Testament Scriptures. And he spoke about the Old Testament Scriptures in relationship to him. Amen. And we'll get there momentarily. Acts chapter 13, Acts the 13th chapter, verse 14 and 15. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. There was a synagogue. There was the Word of God. There was a synagogue. There was Scripture. There was the Old Testament Scriptures. And back in our text, the last part of verse number 2 and verse number 3, it says, He went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. For 3 days He reasoned with them out of those Scriptures that were there, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. There was a synagogue in this place. In this place there was the Scripture. There was the Word of God. And I believe the Apostle Paul intentionally and purposely went into the synagogues because the Word was going to be there. We're not living in the day and time, or Paul wasn't living in the day and time where you can go down to the store and buy a Bible for 99 cents. Scripture was precious and rare. But in the synagogues, you could find the Scripture. The law and the prophets were read regularly in the Scriptures. And we see that there was a synagogue and there was the Word, and we see that there was reasoning. There was reasoning going on here. Word reasoning seems to mean they dialogued, they engaged, they conversed. Then it says that they opened, in verse number 3, the Scriptures. Opening seems to mean that Paul, those with him, explained the Word. Amen. Opened thoroughly, expounded the Word. Then, not only was there opening, but there was alleging, which means that they proved. They gave proof with evidence. They laid alongside what the Scriptures have to say, the truth, and opened it to their understanding. And we find, as Paul goes into Thessalonica, that he finds this synagogue. He goes there where the Scriptures was, and he opened and he alleged and he reasoned with them out of Scripture. All of this by design. All of this by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Paul, as his manner was, when he went into a city, went into the synagogue where the Scripture would be found, and the Scripture would be being read and opened and alleged. And he would preach, and he would teach, and he would expound, and he would explain, and he would open up those Old Testament Scriptures. So there was a synagogue, there was the Word, and there was reasoning. But there was also a point. There was also a point to all of this. Verse number 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. This is the point. He went to the synagogue because that's where the Scripture was, and he opened and he alleged and he taught the Scripture to reveal to them that the Christ let's just say, the Christ, the anointed of the Old Testament scriptures, that this Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. This Christ had to die. He had to be buried. He had to rise again. But that's not the point. The point is found in that next statement in verse number 3. Opening alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is the Christ. That's the point. That's why he went to the synagogue where the scriptures were. That's why he opened and alleged and proved what the scriptures taught, to show them that the Christ had to die, be buried, and rise again, and to declare that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, he's the Christ. Jesus is the point of all preaching. Jesus was the point of all the Apostle Paul preached. All preaching, that is truth, brings us to Christ Jesus. Brings us to Christ Jesus. Jesus said in Luke 24, Luke 24, verse 44 and 45, after his resurrection and after the Emmaus Road experience and Jesus' appearance to them, the 11, verse 44, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all the things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. All of these things that are said in the law and the prophets, all these things that have been written, had to be fulfilled, and they were about me. They were concerning me. And he opened their understanding and showed them Jesus is the point. Jesus is the point. Acts chapter 18, next chapter over from our text. Verse 4 and 5, still speaking of the Apostle Paul at Corinth, seems like. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath day and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Amen. Jesus was Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 8 through 11, Paul, under inspiration, writing to the young preacher Timothy, most likely from a jail cell or under arrest, says in verse 8, be not therefore thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. It's not according to works, but according to His grace. That was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, these things are brought to life and immortality is revealed to us through the gospel. Notice what he says in verse 11. Wherefore I am appointed a preacher, an apostle and teacher of the Gentiles. He had been appointed a preacher. What did he preach? He preached Jesus. He's the Lord in verse number 8. He's the Christ Jesus in verse number 9. He's our Savior, Jesus Christ, in verse number 10. And Paul declares, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle to the Gentiles. The point of all the Apostle Paul's preaching was Jesus. We just heard about he receives sinners. And it was brought out eloquently who the he was. It scares me when I see God working and I see things unfolding. I think about the message we started with. We love Him, we love God because He first loved us. Well, how do we know He loved us? He gave His only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. He receives sinful men. A lot of emphasis here today on Jesus Christ. When I say that scares me, what I mean is when I see these things happening, I just wonder what the devil's going to do. What's he going to do to get us off course? What's he going to do to be a distraction? What's he going to do to get us off the point? God help us, don't get off the point today. Jesus is the point. All preaching ends at Jesus Christ. All preaching is Jesus Christ. All doctrine brings us to Jesus Christ. All godliness and holiness and separation, they all bring us to Jesus Christ. We talk about pleasing the Lord. You and I cannot please the Lord.
You or I, we can't please God.
The only one that has ever been able to please God is who? Jesus. Amen. And Jesus hung upon the cross, and God turned His back on His Son, and Jesus cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? It wasn't because Jesus hadn't pleased the Father, but it was because of us. Looked at that statement recently. And Jesus always pleased the Father before creation. We don't think about that very often, but the Bible teaches that. Amen. Jesus didn't just begin or have a starting point. He's the second part of the Godhead, the second person of the Godhead. Having all the attributes of God. He was forever. He is forever. Before creation, Jesus had a sweet fellowship with the Father. And then during those 33 and some odd years when he was upon this earth, what did he do? He always pleased the Father. No man has ever been able to do that since, or ever will. The only way we can please the Father is through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
People want to take issue with holiness and separation and godly living. Was Jesus not all of those things? Should we not have a desire to be pleasing to God in all of those things? How can we be pleasing if we don't get to the point? And the point is Jesus. We're only going to please the Father when we please Him through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost preached Jesus. Preached Jesus. Apollos in Acts chapter 18 preached Jesus. Preach Jesus. God help us to see the point about all things is Jesus. It's Jesus. We have our buildings. We have the Bible. And hopefully there's some preaching and teaching going on there. And in our buildings and in our opening of Scripture and in our preaching and teaching of God's Word, Jesus must be the point.
Yes. Amen.
Jesus must be the point. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. Ephesians 3, verse 21. Unto Him, the context reveals to us that the Him there is God. Unto God be glory in the church, the local, visible, New Testament assembly. Unto God be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. By Christ Jesus. The only way we can glorify God in our churches is by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
It's not by ourselves. It's not in a personality. It's not in a preacher. It's not in a pastor.
Right.
But unto God be glory in the local assembly by Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever we do in word or deed, do it all to the glory of God. And the only way we can do it to the glory of God is if we do it in the name of Jesus Christ. He's the point. He's the point. Chapter 1 here of Colossians. Verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Chapter 1, verse 14. Context here lays before us that this is speaking of Jesus Christ, verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who's the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he, Jesus, might have the preeminence.
Amen.
I said last night, our churches are becoming fewer and fewer. And the congregations of our churches are becoming fewer and fewer. Churches are becoming social clubs with a social agenda. Churches are becoming psychological places where people are made to feel better, to feel good about themselves. Churches are becoming about programs and not about a person. And we need to get back, or we need to maintain, whichever the case might be, making, keeping Jesus as the point. All of our services, all of our preaching, all of our singing. Jesus needs to be lifted up. He's the one who's going to receive sinners. He's the one who's going to save sinners. He came to give his life for sinners. I like that thought. He didn't come to try. He didn't come to start. He came to save his people. He came to save his people. I can remember several years ago, sitting about the same place we're sitting today. We don't seem to change much. There's this real tall guy sitting over here a lot. And I remember him preaching, Brother Al Gormley. And he was preaching about this name. And he was talking about how all through the Old Testament, they looked for the Messiah, they looked for the Christ, but they didn't know his name. And here you and I are, and we know his name. Isn't it wonderful? We know his name. And what we understand is all of the Old Testament, the point of all the Old Testament scriptures is Jesus. It was all pointing to Jesus. And all that we do in our churches today is a pointing back to Jesus. Jesus. There's no other name. There's people here right now who came into this service lost. As they have many times before, they've come to the church services lost. And they've heard the name Jesus over and over and over again, and still they continue the progression down that road of being lost. You know what you need if you're that one? You need Jesus. You need God to open your eyes. You need God to open your heart. You need God to open your understanding to see yourself a sinner in need of Jesus, in need of the Savior, in need of the Christ. You need God to open your heart up to your sins and show you Jesus as the solution. And you've heard it many times before. You're going to hear it again before you get out of here today. Believe in the Lord Jesus. Thou shalt be saved. Do you know Jesus? Oh, I know all about Jesus. Oh, do you know Jesus? There was a synagogue. There was the Word of God. There was reasoning. And there was a point. The point was that the Christ had to suffer, die, and rise again. And this Jesus I preached unto you, I preach unto you, Paul said, this Jesus is that Christ. God help us to keep our buildings, our churches, our assemblings, the book, our preaching, all about Jesus. There's no other name given among men whereby You must be saved other than the name Jesus. For some time now, I've come to conferences, and I may have said it here before, and it's true. For some time now, I've come to conferences with the thought, I wonder if this will be the last one. It really sunk in when the pandemic hit. You wondered, will we ever have them again? Was the last one we were at the last one? More than ever before, I come to services like this and I wonder, will this be the last time we see each other? Could be. God help us to leave here, not just as pastors, but as church members. God help us to leave here with a greater determination than ever to keep the focus on Jesus. Amen. Never forget the whole point of everything is Jesus Christ. Amen.